One of the things that's a little bit different about the season of Easter, as far as the lectionary goes, is, as I'm sure you've noticed, we don't have an Old Testament reading. And instead, we substitute readings from the book of Acts, which we did last week and which we'll do for the next several Sundays. And there's lots of reasons for that, not least of which is that with the resurrection of Jesus comes a new epoch, a new era in history, namely that of the church before it was different. And so it's worthwhile for us to spend some time in Acts. And so as I was looking at this Sunday and then for the balance of the season of Easter, I thought maybe we'll spend some time every week for the next little while in the book of Acts. And then I thought, well, but how? Well, how will I hold it together? The book of Acts, as we all know, is a history. It's not exactly the same as the histories that we have today. It's obviously written from a completely different perspective, not least of which in another language and all of that. And the historical values, or those things that went into a historical document a couple of thousand years ago, were quite different than what they are now. And I could, well, it would interest me, I suppose, I could spend the next several weeks just talking about the history of Acts, and I'm not saying it would be a waste of time, but as I was looking at Acts, I was thinking that it's not so much that we want to spend time in Acts for the history of it in and of itself, although we'll certainly pick that up as we go through it. I mean, the book of Acts traces the development of the church from this little group of frightened believers to, well, covering the known world. It's an extraordinary story. And we'll cover that as we talk about various things in it, but a history without any application to today is just a lecture in history. And there's nothing wrong with lectures in history. I quite enjoy them. But this isn't where we do lectures in history. We do that in other places. This is where we talk about what do these texts mean to us today. Because Scripture is more than just history, even the book of Acts. It's more than just history. And the metaphor, or the guiding sort of principle, if you will, for these next few weeks is looking at what does Acts have in it that we can look at for us as gifts? And I'm not quite sure why gifts struck me, but I think one of the reasons why is that, I mean, what the hallmark of a gift, of a true gift, is that it is given not that you will give something in return. It's given to you just because. It's maybe given in... maybe we're given because we're noticing that it's your birthday or it's an anniversary or something, but the gift is given not that you'll give something in return. That's a payment of some kind. And so what does Acts have for us that can be gifts to us even now? Well, today's reading in Acts is one of the very famous stories in Acts where Saul is, in through an encounter with Christ, Saul is turned into somebody completely different, to the point where his name is even changed. And so as I was thinking of this, this gift of Acts was first to Saul. It was an encounter with the living Christ. And why is that so important? Well, it's important in Acts for all kinds of reasons, not least of which, at the beginning of Acts, Acts 1:8, we see 1:8 to 10, we see Jesus talks to his disciples and then leaves. He ascends, whatever that looks like, if he just sort of went up into the sky like a rocket till finally he was lost from sight. We don't really know. But Jesus left. And he'd certainly left with some strong implication that the Holy Spirit was going to be there and cover things in a way that Jesus would. But still, Jesus left. And for people who had looked at this new kingdom, this new interaction with God, this new way to relate to God as coming through the person of Jesus, that must have been a bit of a blow. And so when Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, took the time to go into such detail in the story of Saul's conversion, I think one of the things that he's pointing out is the answer to the Jesus has left, now what question. And what What the answer is that just because Jesus has physically left, it doesn't mean that he's gone. It means that there is still the possibility for encounters with Christ. And when we look at the story of Saul's conversion, it's an extraordinary story. It's about as dramatic as you can get. Getting knocked off your horse, as opposed to falling off a horse, which I've done, which is not particularly pleasant, but falling to the ground, having blindness put upon you, having this light that other people can see and hear voices, all of those things. This is about as dramatic an encounter with Christ as you can get. But what it does is it opens the possibility that Jesus will continue to encounter people in a way that's every bit as extraordinary as when he was here on earth. And when we look at it from our own perspective, every bit as extraordinary as Saul's experience. Because we too can encounter the living Christ. It might not be as dramatic. I don't know anyone who's had this kind of an encounter with Jesus, where lights have flashed, where voices have been heard. I know people who have had visions of one kind or another of Jesus. But when we look at the encounter, in some ways, what's most significant, what's most profound from this encounter that Saul had with Jesus isn't the encounter itself, although that's certainly the most dramatic part, or at least the most cinematic part. The most extraordinary thing is the transformation of Saul into Paul. We see someone who goes from being a persecutor of the church to a supporter of the church. We see someone who no doubt made use of his learning, which was extraordinary, to interact with believers in a way to destroy what they believed, to someone who preached with power and reached out to hundreds, thousands, and through his writings, millions. Saul's encounter with Christ that turned him into Paul was extraordinary to be sure. But the thing that made it more than just a hallucination, more than just being struck by lightning, as at least some people have suggested is what happened, was the aftermath, was the tremendous difference that we see in Paul from that moment on. And so when we think of an encounter with Christ, it's easy for us to think that our encounter wasn't the same because it wasn't dramatic, because it didn't have voices from heaven, because it didn't have any of those things. But if we look at our lives, if we look at who we were before we understood who we were, before we understood what this relationship with God through Jesus meant, if we look at our lives then and compare them to now, is the transformation any less profound for us than it was for Paul? I don't think so. It doesn't mean that we all need to be transformed into great missionary preachers, thank goodness, because that was Paul's call. Ours is different. But is our transformation any less? And it's not. All of us made a transition from people who were oriented towards self to people who were oriented towards others. For those of us who made this transition when we were very young, maybe it's hard for us to remember what it was like before. But for those of us who had that encounter with Jesus, dramatic as it may have or may not have been, in later life, it's perhaps a little bit easier for us to remember what it was like before and to look at who we are now to say that this is as miraculous a transformation
as Paul's. Because it's not the kind of thing that we would ever have done ourselves. People don't go from being selfish and self-oriented to being generous and other-oriented on their own, because why would they? If you're someone who thinks that all that really matters is you and your own well-being, how do you change from that into the kind of person who values others' well-being without a transformation? Sometimes said that Paul had that profound an experience because he wouldn't have noticed anything else. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes sense to me. And it makes sense because it seems to me that God reaches out to us in ways that we will understand and that we will accept. And for some of us, that needs to be dramatic. And for others, it's just a slow transformation into a new way of being. And it's not that one is more authentic than the other. They're equally valuable. And of all the things that Acts gives us, especially in these first few chapters, it's a reminder that just because Jesus left in a physical sense, he didn't leave us. Jesus continues to reach out to those who need him. And for some, they need this physical experience the same way that Paul did, to look back on and to never forget. But most of us don't need that. Most of us, through our own personalities, our own contexts, we move into this relationship with God through Jesus without needing a voice from heaven. But what we get is that same connection with God, an encounter with the living Christ is never going to leave you unchanged. When you think of what you used to be like, when you trace over the years the transition that you've made, can any of us say that we're the same as we were before? No. And it's not just age. Something else is going on. It's a recreation of who we are from the inside out to turn us into people that we were meant to be, that we weren't before. And the transformation that we have, not as dramatic as Paul's perhaps, but as comprehensive as Paul's, is the same as him, in that it takes everything that we were before and makes it better. Well, some of those things that we were before need to be dispensed with entirely. Getting rid of selfishness is just a good thing. But Paul made use of all of his learning, of all of his experience, of all of his incredible abilities in a new way, and that's the same thing for us. We're transformed not into something completely foreign or alien to what we were before, but into the best of what we were before. Acts reminds us that God still reaches out to his people, and he reaches out through Jesus. We'll talk more over these next few weeks about the Holy Spirit and how that all works, but it begins with an encounter with Jesus. Because of all the things that sets Christianity aside from many other belief systems and religions, is that it's primarily a relationship. And it's a relationship with a person. Not with an idea, not with a force, but through a person, to Jesus. We've all had that encounter. We've all begun that process of transformation that will be completed in perfection whenever things wrap up for us or for everyone. The encounters are still there. They're still possible. When we read through Acts, we see all kinds of encounters. Some as dramatic as this. most of them less so, but no less real. The gift of Acts for us for this Sunday is the reminder that we've encountered the living Christ. It has changed us and will continue to change us into the people that we were created to be, the people that we want to be. And that the book of Acts isn't just a history of things that happened way back then, but they're stories of things that did happen then but continue to happen today. Paul encountered Jesus in a dramatic way there, but he continued to have that relationship with Jesus through the rest of his life, as do we. I don't know if you have a dramatic conversion story or if it was one of those more slow transitions, but I think it would be worth all of our time today and over, perhaps over the next couple of days, to just reflect a little bit on how comprehensive this transformation has been in our lives. It doesn't mean we're done. I'm not talking about saying that we've reached the plateau and there's nothing else for us to do. But let's not forget how far we have come. Let's not dismiss our own transformation, our own encounter, our first encounter with Jesus, because it wasn't as dramatic as Paul's. Let's not dismiss it because it was every bit as real, every bit as important, and every bit as comprehensive as Paul's. And it has moved us into who we are now and who we will move forward to become. Amen.